Then, in the Snyder case, Mr. Wickersham, would you proceed?
Yes, may it please the court, we call on behalf of the petitioner our next witness, Ms. Kathy Timlin.
Ms. Timlin, would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give in the case now in hearing should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please be seated.
May it please the court.
You may.
Ma'am, for the purposes of our record here today, would you state your full name for us, please?
Catherine, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Love, Timlin, T-I-M-L-I-N.
And your business address?
1104 Bevel, B-E-V-I-L-L-E, Road, Suite J, Daytona Beach.
And what is the nature of your profession?
I am a pediatric speech and language pathologist.
Could you relate to the court what's the nature of your professional training and education to become that profession?
I completed my graduate work at the University of Montana in 1976. I received my certificate of clinical competence in 1997 and was duly licensed by the state of Florida since that time.
Okay. And in the course of your professional practice, have you come to see and meet a child known as Colton Snyder?
I have.
And have you cared for him in regards to speech therapy?
I have.
Would you relate to the court, if you would, when is the first time that you very first encountered Colton Snyder?
The first time I met Colton was at our early intervention program clinic in April of 1999. At that time, he was referred for speech and language issues, delays, as stated or as reported by his physician, and he had severe temper tantrums as well. The early intervention program clinic is designed and was designed at that time as an interdisciplinary team evaluation. I provided the speech pathology component, and that was in April of 1999.
What are the other specialties involved in the intervention evaluation?
At that time, we had a pediatrician on the team, we had a licensed psychologist on the team, an occupational therapist, a nurse, a case manager, and a family service coordinator, and trying to go down the line because our team has changed since then. So our pediatrician, Dr. Hartman, our psychologist, Dr. Wink, our occupational therapist, myself, the nurse, and the case manager.
Okay. And in regards to your role in that evaluation, could you relate to the court what it is you did?
I provided the speech pathology section. I administered the preschool language scale 3 with the following results. It is divided into three segments.
Now, the results you're getting ready to reference, would those be Petitioner's Exhibit 14 at page 0035? And then we're going to flash them?
No, it's a family service, it's a family support plan from the Early Intervention Program Clinic.
Okay. Give us one more second.
There we go.
There we go. So let's pause here for just a second, if you flash that one. Higher, other way.
I'm going
past it. Yes. What I'm looking at is patient-parent concerns when they first presented. Now, in front of us,
we are concerned, yeah.
Exhibit 13 at page 0015. I'll back down by the name. Here we go. Family concerns and priorities. Were you made aware of these?
Yes, I was part of the team that developed those.
And did these come from the family themselves of Colton? What were the family concerns and priorities?
They were concerned about Colton's speech and language development. At that point, he had a 3 to 5 word vocabulary. He does not use two words together in a phrase. He will obey some commands. He used to use more words when he was younger, but then stopped. He seems frustrated when not understood. He frequently has tantrums and throws himself backwards.
Now, I note at the top of the page he gives a date of birth of 1/9/97. Is that Colton's date of birth as you understand it today?
Yes.
The behavior described under the family concerns, from your specialty, does that seem to be appropriate behavior?
No.
Is the vocabulary of 3 to 5 words normal for that age level?
No, it is not.
So after knowing the concerns and being part of the team, then you conducted a workup, is that correct?
Correct.
And relate again, what are the items included in the workup? What do you do? Do you meet with the child?
Again, I'm going back in memory trying
sure.
to reconstruct because our team has changed a little bit. At that time, our clients were brought in with their case manager. We met in an arena type evaluation model with the parents, the child, the case manager, and other disciplines as appropriate.
Okay. And do each of you then interact with the child?
Yes.
And how did your interaction proceed? What did you do?
I was able to obtain standardized scores with Colton at that time. He appeared to be functioning at a total language age equivalent of 9 months, according to the preschool language scale 3. At that time, he was a little over 2.
And that be shown on Petitioner's Exhibit 14 at page 0035, your findings?
Yes, that's it.
And would you explain to us first, how do you obtain those findings and what are the significance of any of them?
The auditory comprehension scale is that scale that measures the child's ability to comprehend language structures. For an example, show me the object, show me the picture, those kinds of questions. He obtained a standard score. Remember that 100 is the average. One standard deviation above and below the mean is 15 points. He obtained a standard score of 61 with an age equivalent of 7 months.
And his actual physical age at the time of this is 26 months,
correct.
2.5 years?
Correct.
Actually a little older than 26 mm-hmm. months.
By some days. The expressive communication section of that test deals with the child's ability to, for example, name things, to communicate pragmatically, usefully, use words and phrases, sentences, if you will, to request, to label, to comment, to request information. Where mommy go, for example, or naming objects, or naming pictures, naming actions in pictures, using language to as a means to an end. He scored a 63, which again is greater than 2 standard deviations below the mean.
And how does that compare to what you would have expected for his actual age level?
I would have expected him at that age to be putting sentences, short little sentences together. I would be expecting him to use language pragmatically to get as a means to an end, to accomplish something, to request information, to explain to tell his mommy or daddy that he was hurt, that he was hungry, that he was tired, sleepy. Those are the things I would expect of a child who is typically developing at that age.
And so at 2.5, he did not have those skills.
He was not using any pragmatic language to my recollection at that time.
Okay. And then total language score?
The total language score is a statistical combination of the two scores. It is not a true average, and it was a 58, which is significantly below the mean, and an age score of 9 months at that time.
And so is it fair to say it's substantially below what his actual chronologic age is?
Yes.
do you find these scores that you have here to be slight deviations, marked deviations? How do you rate them?
I would consider those severe. I would consider those severe language, at least a language delay, if not a disorder.
After you had done your section of this team approach, did the team reach conclusions?
We did. At the end of that arena assessment, we meet then with the parents and the team, and we review all of the scores that were obtained by each discipline. Then each of us makes our own recommendation, and the team recommendations were 1 through 5.
And of those shown on Plaintiff's Exhibit 13 at page 0023?
Yes.
And could you relate those recommendations to the court?
Mr. Wickership, I have this.
Sufficient?
Sufficient.
Thank
I
you.
Can read it. People in the courtroom can read it.
Okay.
We don't need anybody to read it to us.
Thank you. Following the assessment by the team, did you then start out to effectuate the recommendations?
Yes. I began then when I saw Colton the first time was on 4-6-99. At that time, because I've already completed my evaluation, all I really needed to do then were to make goals for him.
Okay.
And those goals are...
Okay. How do you go about trying to achieve the goals?
How do I explain therapy in one easy step? I always start where my kids, where my children are. Colton at that time, as far as I was concerned, and as far as I was going from what I discovered on my evaluation and parent report, and we formulated these goals and then worked towards those by using a variety of means. I always try to use a very eclectic approach with my kids, and I'll try one thing, and if that doesn't work, I'll try something else and try something else. At this point in time, my goals reflected that I began with the picture exchange communication system, which is a system of communication that is based on part behavior analysis, and a speech pathologist developed this plan. And you'd simply request, the child learns to request simple objects, activities, etc., through the use of pictures, where an actual exchange of communication is being made between the child as a speaker and his recipient. We start with pictures, single pictures. We progress to sentences, and then from sentences we try to diversify those types of sentences.
And is this basically one-on-one with the
child? It is one-on-one with a parent present, in order to carry it over at home.
But you're having active interaction with the child. Could you explain to the court then your personal observations while you're engaged with Colton as to the temperament of the child and his general demeanor when you're working with him?
When I first started seeing Colton in April of 1999, I could not obtain in-seat behavior. He would not sit at the table, for example, and do a traditional approach to the picture exchange communication system. He was very resistive to that. He was very internally motivated, if you will. He was interested in doing what he was interested in doing, and that was pretty much the end of the conversation. I would have to work my way into and work around him to get my goals and my objectives for each treatment session accomplished. For example, on my notes of 4999, he does not like playing with toys requiring cause and effect and resists hand over hand. He wants to play very ritualistically at that time. For example, I have a Fisher-Price barn. All he wanted to do was take the animals, instead of playing with them like a typically developing child of that age, he would simply push them through the windows one after one after one after one until he exhausted the numbers of animals I had in my box, which were numerous.
And then start all over again.
Were
you saying then a type of play that was not appropriate for the type of toy he was using?
Yes.
Were you seeing repetitive type actions on his part?
I was seeing repetitive actions, over selectivity in the toys that he would play with, which means he kept selecting them over and over and over and over again. Refusing, if you will, to play with anything that I initiated. His play was very ritualistic and non-productive, if you will.
What would be the reaction to the ritualistic behavior of play if you interceded?
He would become very angry and scream at me, and if I persisted, he would evolve into a temper tantrum.
How about imagination? Was he demonstrating?
There was no imaginative play, nor was there any representational play or parallel play at that time. I could not play in close proximity to Colton. I could play maybe if there was 3 or 4 feet between us, as I recall, but if I got any closer, he would move again. So there wasn't any attempt at cooperation at that point in time.
Was it in the contrary, he was trying to isolate himself from being with you?
Yeah.
Or anyone?
That's the way I interpreted that, yeah.
And you're dealing with him one-on-one. How is your eye contact with him and his exchange with you?
Eye contact with Colton was interesting because at times I would have increased eye contact if it was something that he wanted. And if it was something that I initiated, then it was aversion. And at times, he would give me an aberrant, if you will, for any better word, or disordered visual behaviors, in that he would look to the side glancing like that and walk up and down my wall, either side. I interpreted that as a visual self-stimulatory behavior.
Okay. And as far as his facial expressions with you?
I can't recollect, and I didn't have any documentation about that particularly.
Okay. Now, as your therapy sessions with him progressed, what was the frequency?
I was seeing Colton 2 times a week. For 30-minute sessions each.
In your course of care and treatment of Colton, did you have conversations with his mother?
Every session.
Mm-hmm. Would she report from historical perspective for you what was occurring at home?
Mm-hmm.
How were things
Yes.
going at home?
We were focusing, if I can glean from my notes, we were focusing on playing, on increasing play skills and interactions with his sister. And although I do not have that documented, I am making the assumption that those play skills were much the same at home as they were with me.
So what you were seeing in the therapeutic session was pretty much being replicated at home?
That was my assumption.
Okay. At a point in time, did Mrs. Snyder confide in you that she had certain concerns about Colton's progress?
That was always a concern. It was, is he progressing? Well, slowly, yes. I mean, is he making little bits of progress? Yes, but it wasn't significant. It wasn't really significant until we started looking at the gluten-free, casein-free diet.
As you were progressing with Colton and dealing with his mother, did his mother appear to you to be an accurate reporter to you historically of what was occurring at home?
Yes.
Okay. Had no reason to doubt her accuracy?
No. She provided me on several occasions with, when words started to emerge and things like that, she provided me with many lists of words that she had heard at home and would not spare the difficulty in understanding. She would transcribe them exactly the way Colton was saying them, So there was no misunderstanding about, are you really, is he really saying this, is this what you're hearing? And that's very, very, very beneficial to a therapist.
Now, at some point you mentioned that the gluten-free diet came up.
On 5-28-99, I noted in my records that we implemented GFCF diet, and he is not as irritable and more compliant today. I can tell a difference in compliance with decreased tantrums and screaming when things don't go his way or something falls or otherwise won't, quote, do what he wants it to do.
Now, those aren't reports from the mother. Those are your direct
observations.
Okay, and then you were seeing the improvement.
Mm-hmm.
How do you continue to progress under the diet?
When I was going over my notes, I could see a very significant progression of improvement from 1 month to the next. For example, on 6-11-99, I saw no ritualistic behaviors on that particular day. 6-1-99, no more screaming since GFCF diet. Rings under his eyes are disappearing, playing better.
You mentioned rings under the eyes. Could we go back in time when you first started with him? What rings were you noting?
Really, really dark circles under his eyes that I'd seen ever since I met Colton.
Did that have any significance to you and your observations?
At that time, I was working with another little girl whose mother was working through some food allergies, and she made note to me about her daughter that, well, when we cleared up this particular allergy, the dark ring circles under her eyes started to disappear. And I had two other clients with the same experience as well. So I just felt that was significant enough to note at that time.
Were you aware of what was the medical care and treatment besides the therapy that you were rendering that Colton was receiving during this time period?
Other than the GFCF diet, I was not aware I didn't put anything in my documents to tell me that I was aware of anything else going on.
Did you become aware at a point in time that Mrs. Snyder took Colton to see Dr. Jeff Bradstreet?
Yes.
How did you become aware of it?
As best I can recall, Mrs. Snyder just told me that they had seen Dr. Bradstreet and about his plans. Like I said, I don't have that documented, so I don't really know exact conversations.
But you did become aware of it.
Yes, but I was aware of it.
After he had started, meaning Colton, his care and treatment with Dr. Bradstreet, in your therapy sessions, did you note any differences or changes?
I began to see changes right away from the point at which we were speaking in June of 1999. In fact, I was in therapy. I was beginning to. It was the beginning of approximations to true words. I would say a word, and he would echo it back to me. It was not echolalic behavior, purposeless. Imitation of a word, but I felt it had true meaning.
What's that mean to you in your practice?
That means I'm making significant progress to communication skills.
Okay. A happy moment.
Yes. I mean, when you start getting true words, then you know you're on your way to oral communication, and you're not going to get have to stay, if you will, at an assistive technology or other sort of augmentative system for the kids.
Okay. So then, as he's treating with Dr. Bradstreet, what are the continuing changes, if any, that you note?
7-6-99, improved attending behavior with tolerance to increased parallel play. He does not appreciate my interaction with him, but no longer turns his back to me. And there for a while, and I smile because that's a pleasant memory that he would literally turn his back around to me, look over his shoulder to see if I was anywhere near, and if I approximated, we would still turn around. Just so, at that time, I'm not sure that it was as much avoidance as it was playfulness. His way that he knew how to play with me. 7699, lots more frequent smiles and increased eye contact. Is now on nystatin for yeast control and doing well with GFCF diet.
Okay. So you are seeing progress with the use of the diet.
Mm-hmm. An increased jargoning and compliance to directions, increased eye contact, much more compliance with directions, jargoning more, but having difficulty with any kind of imitation. His ability to imitate at the very beginning was very inconsistent. And at one point in time, I felt that he may have a motor speech disorder, which means that he has a very difficult time planning one speech sound to the next. You see a lot of groping and a lot of struggle behavior with a child who's dyspraxic, and at times I had seen that. But as time went on, that cleared.
While you were working with Colton through this point in time, did you derive in your mind or your opinion what is going on with Colton? Why is he having these problems?
There had been discussion. To my best recollection, I think we had discussed at that time we were calling it a pervasive developmental disorder. We were talking about PDD. We had recommended, the psychologist had recommended in her piece on the family support plan that she would like to have a psychological evaluation done to rule that out.
Now, continuing then with his care while under Dr. Mm-hmm. Bradstreet, were you aware at a point in time where Colton came under IVIG therapy?
I recall the time, but I don't recall specific dates.
Okay. Rather than just the date, you were aware that he did ultimately come to that therapy?
Yes.
Then after that knowledge came to you, did you see changes in Colton?
Yes, I've been seeing significant progress all along, and at about 34 months, I was starting to see more and more and more clear imitations of single words with purpose.
How is his vocabulary at that point?
At that point, if we can go to my evaluation report of 1099, it should be one more after that. There it is. At that point in time, I was not able to redirect Colton's behavior well enough to really sit down and get a real solid set of scores again.
And this is in 12 of 99, December
99.
This is
10 of 99.
Excuse my eyes.
That's okay. And if you refer to my background information, at that time, Dr. Wink had, according to my records, had diagnosed as disorder as pervasive developmental disorder, and then I noted that he is currently being followed by locally by his pediatrician, Dr. Basai, and Dr. Jeff Bradstreet. He receives secretin treatments via infusion on a regular basis and follows a gluten-free, casein-free diet strictly. His behavior, ability to attend to task, play skills, and communication have all improved significantly since nutrition and medical management interventions were initiated. Colton's behavior is more manageable. He does not engage in overselective behavior and does not tantrum as often. His ability to attend to a task of his choice has increased proportionately to the increase in variety of play skills. He has recently begun to use more imaginative and representational play, and on one occasion has initiated play with another child. He was resistive to the picture exchange communication system, so we discontinued those goals and started using sign language because he was starting to do some of this on his own. And at that point in time, he had signs for car, cookie, drink, eat, and open. And I did state under the language section, on occasion and usually at the time of an infusion of secretin, he uses a three-word sentence orally and appropriately. For example, I want, open it up, where's, or who, blank. Intelligibility is fair in these sentences when present with context cues. In other words, if I didn't know what he was talking about or have mom there to tell me what he said, I wasn't able to understand it.
And that's as of this date?
That is as of 10/99.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us how he progresses after that while still under the care of Dr. Bradstreet and your therapy.
By the end of November of that year, 11/30/99, I noted more echoic behavior today and gross approximations, but appropriate inflection and syllableness, which to me is very, very important, that a child understands that there's more than one syllable to a word or more than two syllables to a sentence, that he really understands how sentences and how words are put together in terms of units. By 12/99, I was getting spontaneous words and spontaneous phrases. At the end of that year, he was spontaneously responding to my question, what do you see with taps? What do you see? The car. What do you see? Cow. We were working on receptive vocabulary for feature, function, and context with feature and function. What do you use to drink water? What do you wear on your feet, for example? Which one is red?
And as of your 4/12/2000, he's still under the gluten-free, casein-free diet,
yes.
Correct? And still under the care of Dr. Bradstreet.
That's my assumption, yes.
Okay. But it's actually in your report, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, I didn't. Oh, I have the wrong. Oh, I can't. I have the death. I have the other.
So between your therapeutic approach, the medical care and treatment he's receiving from Dr. Bradstreet, and the diet and then the protocols that he's following, this child is progressing.
And significantly so, yes.
Okay. Is this type of significant progress you see, is it common in dealing with young children of this age that start off as deeply affected as Colton was to begin with? Is this unusual?
It's a rare occasion that I see this kind of result. I'm thinking of another child that I've seen recently who was also on the GFCF diet, and I don't, from a parallel perspective, he is the only other child, with the exception of one other years ago, whom I have seen this kind of results with. But he's also doing a lot of medical management and a lot on GFCF diet as well.
As part of the medical management, did you become aware that he was on IVIG therapy?
Yes.
Okay. And did he seem to progress well while under that therapy?
Yes, and in fact, it was... In my notes on 3/10/2000, I was getting spontaneous I wants to request. For example, I want the cow, I want the drink. With improved intelligibility, I can understand him much more better. I can understand him better. My note says he was more focused today, had IVIG on Wednesday. So I did see enough of a significant difference in his focusing or in his attending behavior to make a note of that.
So you're seeing a cause, the IVIG, and an effect in your therapeutic session?
At that time, yeah. At that session, yeah.
As he continued under Dr. Bradstreet's care and the IVIG therapy, were there times that you became aware that for financial reasons he was off the therapy?
Yes.
Did you see any changes in Colton in the therapeutic, language therapeutic environment when he was off the IVIG therapy?
I did not make note of that. I was aware of that, and my documentation does not reflect that, but I do recall seeing significant differences. In fact, I do have... I saw significant frustration levels with Colton, because he was, now at this point in time, remember, he's using language fairly well to communicate, to request, to label, and he would become very, very frustrated, and if I recall correctly, very short-tempered and very upset, if you will, that he was not able to communicate effectively.
Would you see a retrograding downward of his attainments when he was off the IVIG therapy?
I could see significant losses, yes.
Okay, thank you. And since this period of time, how is Colton progressing now?
The last time, he must be doing very, very well, because the last time I saw him was in May of 2004. We had, let me backtrack a little bit. In 4/14/03, I did a reevaluation of just of his language skills. At this point in time, we did a preschool. Okay, that's the 03. There, we're on the same page. At this time, we did a preschool language scale 4. The fourth edition had come out in the meantime, between the time we started with Colton and now. If you notice, the standard scores are 103 in comprehension. Expressive communication was 107. The total language score was 106, the mean being 100 with a standard deviation of plus minus 15.
Compare this to when you first saw him.
Compare that to when I first saw him?
Yes.
He was at 61, 63, and a total language score of 58.
How does this 4/14/03 compare to a child chronologically Colton's age?
Well, I'm reading down to his age equivalency scores because they're embedded. His chronological age at that time was 6 years, 3 months. At the time that we looked at his expressive language or the expressive communication, he had an age score of 6 years, 9 months. And a receptive or comprehension age equivalency score of 6 years, 6 months.
Thank you.
Cross-examination.
May we have a few moments?
You may.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Esposito will conduct the cross examination.
You may proceed, Ms. Esposito.
Thank you. Good morning, still. Ms. Timlin, you're not a medical doctor, correct?
No, I'm not.
Do you diagnose autism spectrum disorders?
No, I do not.
Speech delays?
Speech and language disorders and delays, yes.
You do diagnose those. And you're not here to testify regarding Colton's diagnosis?
No, I'm not. The part that is regarding speech and language, yes.
That's your area, okay. Is it true that the first time you saw Colton was almost a year after his MMR shot? Are you familiar with the dates? The MMR shot was April 23rd of 1998. And your first visit, from what I can tell, is April 6th of 1999. Is that correct? Does that sound right?
My date of evaluation for the early intervention program was March 25th, 1999.
Okay. But so it's almost a year, 11 months after the MMR shot. Okay. What is your success rate with your patients in terms of their speech improving from the beginning of their care with you towards the end of their care with you? Do most of them improve?
All of them improve. I mean, to their own intellectual and cognitive abilities, yes.
Can you explain to us how you became aware of Dr. Bradstreet?
I'm seeing another little girl at the same time who we assumed to be or suspected to be, per our psychologist at the early intervention program, to also have a pervasive developmental disorder. That parent was very aggressive in seeking out why her daughter was acting the way she was and was not using language. In her quest for finding a medical answer to this above and beyond what her pediatrician was able to afford, she sought out Dr. Bradstreet. And that was my real first contact with his name.
And you then referred the Snyders to Dr. Bradstreet?
If I can recall correctly, I referred the mothers to each other. Lot of times what I do is I know that there are some mothers who can help other mothers, or because I deal mostly with mothers, I will connect the two.
Sure.
And through that is how I believe that Mrs. Snyder became aware of Dr. Bradstreet.
Are there any other patients that you've referred to Dr. Bradstreet?
I have made suggestions that he was available. I don't recall making direct referrals to him.
To approximately how many of your patients would you say?
Oh, I can't recall. I truly can't recall.
So you're saying that you first heard about him from, kind of anecdotally, from another patient's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about him at all from any of your other colleagues in your field suggesting that he...
Not that I recall.
Not that you recall. How many of the children that you treat receive IVIG therapy that you know of?
That I'm aware of? One.
And is that Colton or another?
It's another child.
So two children. Mm-hmm. How many patients do you have, how many clients do you have right now?
On my current caseload, my current caseload, I have 37.
37. And in the past 10 years since you've been treating, since you started treating Colton, how many?
Oh, don't ask me how many. Okay, how many what? Go ahead.
How many would you approximate that you've seen in the past 10 years since including Colton and the current 37, how many children have you seen? Hundreds?
Probably at least 100 in the last 10 years. Oh, gosh. I'm sure, well, if I counted, I'd probably well over 100, yes.
Okay. And of those, you're saying there's been two, Colton and one other child, who has had IVIG therapy?
That I was aware of, yes.
That you're aware of, okay. From your education and training, is IVIG therapy standard treatment for developmental delays or language delays?
Not so with language delays, no.
Not with language delays, okay. Do children with behavioral issues usually improve when their language issues start to improve?
Anecdotally, yes.
Okay. Do you recall if you were the clinician that recommended the gluten-free, casein-free diet to the Slaters?
Could you repeat, please?
Was it you that suggested that they go on
this? No, that was the other mother that I had introduced Mrs. Snyder to.
So they, from your knowledge, started a diet based on the other mother's suggestions?
Yes.
Okay, I have nothing further. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a few questions for you.
Certainly.
Ms. Timlin, what percentage of the children, what percentage of the children you've treated with speech therapy have a diagnosis of ASD or PDD? Roughly.
It's increased so exponentially over the last 10 years that I can safely say that right now, probably about half my caseload are children who are either on the spectrum or who will be diagnosed on the spectrum.
And 10 years ago, what was the percentage?
Maybe one in... I may have had out of 30 kids on my caseload, I probably had maybe one or two.
You indicated on direct examination that you saw ups and downs in Colton's progress. Did you document those in your notes?
I documented... I documented a couple of those items of those times when.
And it's not necessary to read them to me, but if you could refer me to the dates in your daily notes, that would be helpful.
That's going to take me a little bit.
Not a problem.
Okay. No, I can tell you when I saw ups and downs in Colton's behavior and his ability to function communicatively, I'm not sure that those dovetailed with the dates of infusions or the dates around which he had infusions. So, for example, 8/11/2000.
Okay.
8/11/2000 to 8/22/2000. Those two entries, I wrote not himself today. Speech.
Yeah, I can read it. I can read your handwriting.
Okay.
It's short here. Okay. So those two time frames, any other ones that come to mind?
On 12/5/2000, I noted that the INTEL abbreviation is intelligibility.
Okay. So it was better than he had been previously.
It was significantly more clearer. And again, on 3/20/01, I noted that speech was significantly clearer. Now, go back up to 6/5/01.
Okay.
If you go down to the second sentence,
very moody.
Where I start as behavior is a problem today, very
yes.
moody. Then if you go to 6/12/01, had IVIG yesterday. For some reason, I was really concerned about the circles under his eyes are decreased and behavior is significantly improved. Seven seventeen oh one. If you could call how unproductive his play was at the beginning, and if you look at my note on 7/17/01, we were playing Papa John's Pizza, and that is just a with a trip to the store for Cokes in the Works, and he was playing with imagination and with props and representational play, and it was that was a particular high point. And again, through 8/22/01, 10/10/01, we're seeing more and more complex play strategies that may have been around the same time with the IVIG infusions. I wasn't sure.
And then it appears your daily notes end in 02.
Correct.
And is that when Colton was discharged from routine speech therapy?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yes,
a yes?
Ma'am.
Okay. In the progress of speech therapy with the average child, do you see peaks and valleys in a generally improving
line? We'll see little aberrations, you know, if he isn't rot mood or just isn't compliant or not feeling well, but you don't see these significant ups and downs, these real very significant peaks and valleys in the course of therapy.
Okay. Did you see significant peaks and valleys in the course of Colton's therapy? Because it seems to me what you've given me are primarily significant improvements with one bad day.
Yeah, if I combed through them, I probably could find. But
well, what I'm trying to do is understand what you note, Ms. Timlin. And are you noting improvements rather than declines, or are you trying to note what happens in a session?
I'm trying to note the latter.
Okay. So if your notes indicate fairly significant, fairly steady improvement, then that would be what is happening.
Yes.
And you would note a decline if you saw it, but it's not there?
If it was significant decline, I'd note it.
Okay. If it's just he is not pronouncing his leading consonant well today, that might not get noted.
Correct.
Okay. Questions from either side based on mine?
Just very briefly, if I might.
Mr. Wickersham.
In Colton's individual case, you did see progress from the time that you started treating him. Am I correct?
Yes, I did.
But in your own personal recollection, do you remember these peak and valley aberrations in his treatment or in his behavior?
As I recall, yes.
Okay. And are those more marked than what you would normally see in the course of treating a regular patient that you have?
I would say so.
Thank you.
Ms. Esposito?
Ms. Timlin, in terms of what you're noting that's significant about Colton's behavior, is there just really the one valley where he had a bad day, there's the one valley, and aside from that, if he's generally improving?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anything further? Ms. Timlin, thank you very much. You're excused as a witness. It's now noon. Who's your next witness, Mr. Wickersham?
Are we at this point calling Dr. Jeff Bradstreet?
Then it would appear that this would be a good time to take the lunch recess.
I think we'll be somewhat occupied.
I think we will be. All right, let's reconvene then at 5 after 1.